It is the heartbeat of our age.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
It is the rhythm and the rhyme of pop culture.
I hate that song. I always feel like they're talking to me when it comes on.
And world culture. Hip hop from the streets of South Central.
I don't know, but today seems kinda odd. No barking
to the streets of Detroit.
But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud.
To the streets.
People.
Hip-hop has grown to be one of the languages of globalization, commercial and underground at the same time. Strong messages, radical musical techniques, and varied voices and styles of hip-hop make it almost more than a genre.
Come along and I'll lead you the right way. Just clap your hands to the words I say. Come on.
It is art that takes itself too seriously and not seriously at all. Recognize those tracks? That one, of course, that's Ice-T, the director of the new film that we're going to talk about called Something from Nothing, The Art of Rap. It's in limited release beginning today. There was a premiere last night. Jonathan Haley is a hip-hop expert and assistant editor of theurbandaily.com. He's seen the film, and we want to explore with him the artistic sort of tracks and trajectories in hip-hop. Jonathan, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Also on the line with us, featured in Ice-T's film, MC Lyte, the first female rapper to release a full-length solo album back in 1988. You actually heard the track Cha-Cha-Cha off the 1989 album, Eyes on This. MC Lyte, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, so it doesn't require a stretch, MC Lyte, for you to think of hip-hop as art, right?
Absolutely.
How does that work in your life when you approach a song, approach a sound, approach a track?
Well, I think for me, it's all about inspiration. So I want to be as inspiring as possible for all of those who are within earshot of that song.
Jonathan Haley, give us a bit of a timeline here. Hip-hop was underground. Now it's anything but it still retains a feel of renegade and challenge to society at large. How do you calculate the sort of art component of hip-hop?
I think that the art component comes from the construction and the feeling that it gives you. Because, like, when with any other art form, you have to have a skill. And you might have natural talent, but you need to practice to build your skill. And with rap, you have to practice your rhymes and freestyling, things of that nature, to get better and to grow as an artist.
So there's a confrontational, a kind of a street fight quality to rhymes and freestyling that is part of the skill piece. But I remember after Tupac's death, Maya Angelou would talk about how the lyrics of Tupac, in her view, were poems that go directly to someone like James Baldwin. Is that how you feel it?
Yes, it's poetry just in just for a different audience. Like, some poetry is for the intellectual and it speaks to them and how they grew up and their things. But rap music speaks to the street kids that were poor growing up in projects and poverty and things of that nature. And it's just poetry to a beat, basically.
So does that mean that someone like Mos Def, who tends to work at a kind of a high artistic level, is a little too pointy-headed to be really legit on the street, and maybe more like someone who's commercially successful, say a Kanye West or a David Banner, embodies the real spirit of hip-hop?
No, I wouldn't say that, because everyone expresses their feelings differently. So they're all doing hip-hop, and they're all promoting the art and pushing it forward just in different ways.
MC Lyte, who's your favorite hip-hop artist besides yourself?
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding? There are way too many to mention. I like all different types of rappers for different reasons. And to go back to Tupac and that analogy with Mr. Baldwin, is that the interesting thing about Tupac is he created his rhymes with no music. So without music, he would put pen to pad and go at it to create this imagery for us to be able to sort of dive into his imagination. And so, yeah, it is an art form by far.
And, you know, as an artist, a female hip-hop artist, the first one to achieve gold status in album sales, What did that mean?
You make me sound like a relic.
Well, I know. That was not my intent. I'm being pushed by my staff to identify you precisely because, you know, there's a lot of excitement just about you coming on the program. But was Public Enemy a big influence on you?
Yeah, you know what? I got a call from Chuck, like, right after my first release to join them in a video called Night of the Living Bassheads, where I played a news reporter reporting on the news that was happening in the corporate boardrooms. It's quite an event. Folks should check it out online. It's called Night of the Living Bassheads. But, yeah, I like KRS-One. You know, I think he is the philosopher. He's the teacher. And that's what I think hip-hop is all about. It's about opening up a new world for the next generation and hopefully reporting on things that are happening in the community for those who aren't there so that they can really know what's going on from the people who are living it.
MC Light, playing a news reporter, that makes me a little bit nervous. That's my territory, you know. So
I'm not after your job.
All right, that's good. So Jonathan Haley, tell me about this movie. What did it try to achieve, and did it manage to achieve it? Ice-T is the director, of course.
Yes, I thought that it tried to show the things behind the scenes of making rap music, because a lot of people just see it as, oh, we're out here in the club and doing this and doing that. But it showed that there are other things that we do talk about, and how Chuck D and Public Enemy, they were the CNN of the streets at the time, and how they're just different things, different avenues in hip hop, how they all come together. And it showed the camaraderie between rappers, because a lot of times you hear of incidents of violence and things of that nature surrounding hip hop. But it showed that it's just friendly. A lot of times it's friendly competition,
and
there are friendships.
Friendly competition, but sort of taking from the headlines and developing content. That's Jonathan Haley, a hip-hop expert and assistant editor of theurbandaily.com. MC Light, explain how a rapper approaches, say, you know, an artist approaches an experience like the Trayvon Martin shooting as an opportunity to fuse art and political outrage.
Oh, goodness. Well, I think while I was just listening, I thought of what an impact Public Enemy made with having, I think, probably the first union of its kind with Spike Lee in bringing that song Fight the Power. That's what a Trayvon Martin can incite, you know, that incident of atrocity can incite in a nation of young folks who are willing to use their voices and use their voices for something with huge purpose, and that is creating awareness. But I think Chuck's an example of that, because he was just noted as, you know, reporting like the CNN news, when in fact what an impact that Public Enemy had. You know, I remember seeing one of their shows on the road, and the topics that they would choose to address in front of, you know, thousands of people was certainly courageous. And I think that's what incidents like Trayvon Martin.
Well, I think to both of you, MC Light and Jonathan Haley, I think CNN would be doing a heck of a lot better if they sounded more like a Public Enemy than they sound like today, that's for sure. MC Light, the first female rapper to release a full-length solo album in 1988. She hit gold. She's featured in the film that we're talking about this morning, a documentary on the art of hip-hop. MC Light, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.